In 1998, the advocacy group The Sentencing Project drew attention to great disparities in state laws governing the voting rights of convicted felons. While a handful of states permitted felons to vote in prison while they were serving their sentences, other states deprived them of voting rights even after they'd served their sentences. All told, The Sentencing Project found that nearly 4 million Americans were disenfranchised because of their felony convictions, among them 13% of African-American males. Now, this issue arose in last night's Democratic presidential debate in Iowa, a debate that addressed issues of greatest concern to black and Latino voters. Both Democrats suggested easing some of the restrictions on the franchise. First, Vice President Al Gore.
The principle that convicted felons do not have a right to vote is an old one. It is well established. I think that the definition of what kind of crimes automatically fall in the category that triggers that exclusion from the franchise could well benefit from a fresh review. I believe that the established principle that felonies, certainly heinous crimes, should result in a disenfranchisement.
Former Senator Bill Bradley said that many young African-American men convicted of nonviolent first-time drug offenses are in prison because of the harsh penalties for possession of crack cocaine.
If someone is in and a nonviolent offense and comes out and is able to go straight for 2 years, 3 years, I think that that person ought to be able to wipe his record clean and start the day anew.
Well, this week, the Sentencing Project issued an update on its 1998 report, which finds that several states are revisiting the question of voting rights for people convicted of felonies. Mark Maurer is assistant director of the group and co-author of the report. And Mark Maurer, first, there were four states where inmates actually voted while they were in prison. What, if any, changes have taken place in those jurisdictions?
Well, the four states that permit voting are Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire. As far as we can tell, only a relative handful of inmates do vote in those states. We've seen a bit of a backlash in Massachusetts, where inmates have been allowed to vote for several decades now. A couple of years ago, the inmates formed a political action committee. It had only a modest amount of money, but it generated a backlash by one of the gubernatorial candidates, and there are some efforts going on to restrict their voting rights now. In New Hampshire, though, there was a lawsuit filed, and in 1998, a judge ruled that the laws prohibiting inmates from voting violated the state constitution, and so inmates are now able to vote, and apparently two inmates voted in the last election, and unless that's overturned, that will be the policy of the state.
Wasn't there also inmate voting in Utah and a ballot referendum that overturned that practice?
There had been. Inmates in Utah had been permitted to vote for several decades. A public referendum held in 1998 by a substantial vote of about 80% took away that right to vote for inmates in Utah.
We should add here that, as I understand it, your group, the Sentencing Project, thinks that there should be voting by convicted felons.
Right. We don't see any reason why we should restrict anyone's voting rights, whether a current felon or a former felon.
Well, most states restrict the rights of even former felons, I gather. Any changes underway in those states?
There's quite a bit of activity in the 14 states in which a felony conviction can result in the loss of voting rights for life, well after a person has completed his or her sentence. In seven of these states, bills have been introduced in the state legislature over the past year that, in many cases, would automatically restore voting rights once the sentence has been served. So essentially they're saying that when you've paid your debt to society, done your time in prison or on probation, you should be able to re-enter the society and get your right to vote back at that point.
Both of the Democratic candidates for the presidential nomination, Vice President Gore and former Senator Bradley, either implied or stated there should be distinctions about what happens to your voting rights depending on what you were convicted of, what kind of felony you were convicted of. Do those distinctions typically operate in current law?
Most current laws don't do that. Unfortunately, there's a sad history in some of that regard. In some of the southern states in the late 1800s, the post-Reconstruction era, state legislators actually tailored their disenfranchisement laws to include those crimes which they believed African Americans were more likely to commit. And so those crimes resulted in disenfranchisement. The so-called white crimes did not result in that. But today, states either restrict voting rights or they don't. They don't generally make those kinds of distinctions about type of crime.
To our knowledge, this question has not arisen in Republican presidential candidate debates, But George W. Bush is governor of Texas. What's Texas like for voting rights for people convicted of felonies?
Well, Texas is a mixed state because they have such an enormous prison system that they have a very substantial number of people who can't vote because they're in prison or on probation or parole. But Texas previously had a waiting period of 7 years after your release from prison before you could regain the right to vote. Texas, in the last several years, has actually done away with that. It was done fairly quietly, but now the day you leave prison, you have the right to vote has been regained, actually.
Now, there's a case where when you leave prison, your sentence is over. Lots of people finish out their sentences on parole. Can they typically vote nowadays?
In the majority of states, you can't vote while you're on parole. About 32 states say once your parole has been completed, then you're able to regain the right. One of the practical problems that we see here is that offenders, ex-felons, are often very much uninformed, as are county clerks about this as well. And so just because you gain the right to vote back when you leave prison or when you're leaving parole doesn't mean that you know about that or you're informed about that by state officials.
Many people would say when a person's criminal sentence has been served, he or she should be free to live in the community, but not necessarily to vote, that they forfeited some civic rights by violating the laws, and certainly if they did harm to another individual.
Well, the purpose of punishment, whether it's prison or probation or something else, is that a judge has made a decision about what type of punishment is appropriate for the crime you've committed. But we don't generally take away people's basic rights. You have the right to own property. You have the right to get married or divorced, to read material that you like. So the basic fundamental rights are not taken away with a criminal conviction. And I think we're really stepping over some very important philosophical lines here when we say that voting rights should be part of a criminal punishment. Yes, we need to decide whether incarceration is appropriate for public safety or other reasons, but whether we take away fundamental rights, I think that's a very different kind of question.
Mark Maurer, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Maurer is the assistant director of the Sentencing Project, a criminal justice advocacy group.